Blog Talk Radio.
Do you believe that America has become too politically correct? Von Wiehunt speaks truth to power. Do you see the coming of our political and economic demise? Von Wiehunt speaks bluntly about the need to correct America's course quickly. And now, broadcasting from the Eagle's Nest, a man who makes no excuses for putting America first. Here's your host, Von Wiehunt the Barbarian. America, we are a world at war. The Barbarian is here, your dramatic warlord, otherwise known as General Von Wiehunt, is here. And never forget, friends, that a government takes away guns when it intends to cause harm to its citizens. Big show tonight, we should have the European housewife calling in on our VIP line. Welcome to Epic Episode 112. With our show theme tonight, The Invasion of America. You have entered the legendary Von Wiehunt Show. This pirate radio show is aired every Thursday night from 8 to 10 p.m. for a two-hour live broadcast, and it often goes into overtime. We broadcast from my underground mountain stronghold, deep in the mountains of Arizona. Now tonight, there's a lot going through the land and the world. China has deployed tanks in the streets to prevent its citizens from withdrawing their hard-earned savings. And many of the tanks in the streets are not working properly. Many seem to need spare parts. Some have broken down, we've heard. Sounds like the Red China communist regime is not ready for prime time. So I've told you on prior shows, we do have listeners now in Red China and the old Soviet Union. The two big superpowers are listening in on the Von Wiehunt Show, as well as their intelligence services. Yes, we know. It seems tonight that you are not very free at all in communist Red China. You are held in bondage if you live there. Foreigners are being kicked out left and right. And even your money is now being held hostage. They are another evil, godless empire. Never underestimate the show's ultimate power, as you are my dramatic wolves all over the nation, in the underground, in the towns and cities, and the gridirons, and the farms and ranches of America. Well, now here's a quote I'll throw at you, Mr. and Mrs. America. From William Colby, CIA director during the Reagan years. This is a very good quote. He said, "We will know our disinformation campaign has been successful when everything the American public knows to be true is false." That was said by William Casey, CIA director in 1981. Well, like I told some people this week, we were discussing the state of the world and state of our state here in Arizona and the world and the nation and all that. Like I told some people, the world was already set in motion before we were even born. So don't beat yourself up too much, people. The world was already here with all its systems already in place before we were even a gleam in our father's eye. And some people in America feel that we aren't divided enough because we can still see and hear the subhumans and the migrants coming over our border by the millions, the tens of thousands. Unbelievable invasion of America is our show theme tonight. No country has ever withstood this level of invasion and survived in history, just so you know. This is where we're at today in America. Did you know that already 1.8 million so-called, quote-unquote, migrants have come across the Texas border from January until now? That's just the ones that we know about. And that's more than all the so-called, quote-unquote, migrants, again, that we apprehended in all of 2021. This is the real invasion, folks. This is when it's hot. Wait till the weather cools in the fall and winter and spring. We'll see an exodus from the third world countries. We'll have millions marching up here when the weather cools down. What you're seeing now are the hardy people who can't wait to get out. And everyone sees America as their promised land. That's the problem. We cannot absorb the entire third world. They're going to be sucking our rivers and reservoirs and our water supplies dry. They're already doing that now. Before this massive and huge invasion, America had a drought out west or a drought in the southeast or Midwest sometimes, but never to this extent or length of time. This is a systemic drought. And bringing in more and more people to America does not make it better. We have very precious resources of water, food, land, money. We can't give it to the entire world for free. It sounds more like a UN plan, a clergy plan, the plans of Saul Alinsky, other communist radicals to destroy America from within. But we're glad you're here tonight. Hopefully we'll have the European housewife call in from the island nation of Cyprus if she makes it, and she will tell us her own immigration stories. If you're a new caller to the show, you get first in line at 563-999-3437. Welcome to our weekly show, our church cathedral meeting on the radio airwaves. We're so glad you selected the Von Wiehan Show. We're so glad you're here tonight. We have much to discuss. Yes. Well, to an uber liberal Marxist Democrat, science only works for them when it drives their political agenda forward. We have all this talk about not enough energy in our land, Biden inflation, high gas prices. Sure, we'll talk about all the local politics as well and what's going on. But I say this, just create more energy, and then we won't need all this Democrat government crapola, like their new policy had to have cooling centers all around the country. These ideas are thrown at us daily. Let's just face it, America. Democrats are effing annoying, and no one wants to hang around with them anyway in a Democrat-controlled cooling center. Capiche? Nobody wants that. And retail mall thefts are on the rise in America. Hey, guys, I have an idea to stop the retail thefts there in the malls of America. Why don't you start shooting them instead? That'll get rid of that real quick. Of course, that's just conjecture on my part. My own personal opinion. You can't let people, criminals, steal from you 24/7 and expect great things to happen to your city or town. At some point, they need to hit a brick wall. There needs to be some kind of draconian action. Unbelievable what's going on. In our Man in the Street segment, a man wrote the show and said, General Von Weehunt, love the show. The demonic globo-homo mafia will not stop until all moral Christian people of faith stop tolerating this evil in our land. The wrath of God will come to us if we just ignore it. I pray for a better and safer America. I know you do too. I'll be listening. Signed, Joshua. Well, Joshua, I appreciate that. It's amazing if you watch the news or what's going on. Biden's Department of Justice has quietly dropped charges against 79 Antifa rioters in the Portland 100-day siege in 2020. Remember that? I was watching that every night for just pure entertainment value. They were tearing up the downtown part of Portland, and now Portland has got more vacancies, more commercial vacancies in their downtown than I think Seattle. They're all competing with each other, Seattle, Portland, and San Francisco. All the businesses have taken off, and they're not, I repeat, not coming back. If I was their advisor, I'd say never go back. Do you blame them? They had their businesses torched, their employees ruffled up, beaten up, some shanked, firebombed their business. You expect this if you're Portland as a great business model? These are anarchists in the street, communists. This is what they do. This is what they like to do. They do not believe in the rule of law. They do not believe in capitalism. They don't believe in money or trying to make money. They are there to destroy your city or town. Own up to it. Wake up. They're not there to play patty cake with you. These people up there in Seattle, too, in the Chaz District, and where they roped off a big part of downtown, killed a few people for sport. This is what's going on. Even though they burned the federal courthouse in Portland, attacked and seriously injured police and many others, they are not considered, quote, domestic terrorists, according to the Biden regime or Attorney General Garland. No, they're not the domestic terrorists. But you in the suburbs, if you're a man of white European descent and you own arms, and maybe you're a vet, maybe you're not, you are the domestic terrorists, according to Biden. Unbelievable. I told you before, as time goes on, we'll see more and more crazy news. Up is down. Down is up. Good is evil. Evil is good. They take the extreme and they make their extreme ideology mainstream. And we're left holding them back, but not for long. Let's face it, America, we have a history of not being very good at forgiving people who have tried to screw our country and people over. Put that in their pipe and smoke it. Well, there is an insane, narcissistic society that's destroying the world. It's the malcontents in our society, the militant Democrats, Marxist Party, Communist Party, BLM, Antifa, all the rest, all the usual suspects. Unbelievable. That's what's going on. Biden, they had their Stalin show trial tonight. We can talk a bit about that, too. I watched that. I have to. It's my job, not yours. Just more of the same drivel. No cross-examination. They're trying to paint a picture. I've told you before, they're Democrat and Rhino. Political fantasy. The Rhinos are included, and they know who they are, like Liz Cheney and the rest. Their fantasy is to surround Mar-a-Lago, the SWAT team, going there with CNN, MSNBC cameras ablazing, and pull Donald Trump out in chains after an indictment of some kind. This is what they want to do. And this is what they're trying to gin things up to do, is go for the criminal on his entire administration and him personally. Trump made the comment last week, and he's right. I've told him this, my God, a year ago or so, that he said, I've got to run for office just to keep these morons off my tail. Well, he's right. He almost has to run now. This is what they want, and they're going to now turn their congressional investigation over to the Department of Justice and the FBI, and they're going to have fun with it. They're going to kick it around. And they're going to try to levy some actual criminal charges. You watch. They're not letting this dog go. They're not letting January 6th go. To them, it's the Capitol grounds are sacred ground, like a monastery in Tibet. And the deplorables trampled on that monastery. How dare they? How dare they go there, just even go there? The ones that just went have been arrested. What about the political prisoners that have been locked up in Washington, D.C. jails for a year and a half? No one's talking about them, but people on my show and me. Nobody's bringing them up, and they're still incarcerated. And I warned people not to go there. I saw this happen. I said they'll never let those people go. Biden prevails, which he did. There's no Cutard philosophy, all these crazies that say that Trump's coming back and, you know, Biden is going to resign and this, all this crazy Cutard talk is nothing but nonsense. Biden prevailed, unfortunately, during the 2020 election. These are the facts, and I said they are never going to let those people go until a Republican gets in. Maybe, maybe not even then. But those people, I hate to say it, their life has been turned upside down. Their lives have been destroyed, ruined. Solitary confinement, I believe, for most of them for a year and a half. They're political prisoners. They're still being held. They never make the news. They never make many talk shows. But I'll bring them up. I will talk about them when nobody else will. And that's the premise of our show. It's our quest for a better nation, a better country, better leaders, and real accountability, not just contrived for a good photo op in D.C., not fake. Well, right now we have Democrats, Ducey and Abbott, that are shipping all the migrants to Washington, D.C. when they come over the Texas and Arizona border. And I love it. We need more of that. I just see them pouring out of those buses. They're shipping them there via bus. They're giving them a meal ticket, a Big Mac, or a box lunch, saying, hey, you wanted to come to America? Well, we thought we'd bring you to the capital of America because we're so generous and benevolent. Here you go, boys. Enjoy the capital of America, Washington, D.C. And they walk out bewildered going, como, como, senor, como, como. Not sure where the hell they are. You're in the capital, El Capital. Watch them go cartel crazy one of these days. And they'll go Pancho Villa the Bandito on the people's collective asses there. They could go nuts. I mean, it's a powder keg. I will say this, though. It would be some great TV to watch, for sure. Now, we don't want any harm to befall our U.S. Capitol. Don't get the wrong idea. It's more speculation on my part. I've got a very active imagination. Well, God forbid that were to happen. We don't want that to happen. But if it did, then we would lecture them in D.C. and say, diversity is our strength. You must learn to tolerate it like the rest of us for your own good. They always lecture us every day that diversity is our strength. Well, now the shoe's on the other foot. Now they can experience diversity firsthand on the streets of D.C. And they should be kind and nice to our brown Hispanic brothers and sisters as we hold hands and sing Kumbaya all around the world. Sure, you can play at that game. Well, at this point, we all know our border is a joke, international joke, out of control. Again, our theme night is the invasion of America. At this point, the cartels just hand the people over to Border Patrol or just ship them over the border any way that they can by using their coyotes. We need to militarize the border. I've been saying that for years. Our southern border with Mexico needs to be militarized. Our Border Patrol is inadequate in the year 2022. They have been inadequate, truthfully, since the 1980s and 90s. Spanning three, four decades ago. As a young buck coming up, I noticed that. So there's no way those guys are motivated, have the manpower, the money to take care of this problem. And Reagan gave, of course, amnesty back then. But again, the catch was that the Congress would work on immigration reform and more Border Patrol, which they never did back then. I would have never given them amnesty to begin with. I go against Reagan on that one. But at the time, it seemed like the right thing to do when we look back in our time machine prism back to the 1980s. But I would say this as well. All this talk about Roe versus Wade and all this stuff about, you know, the Stalin show trial in Congress and monkeypox, and these government cooling centers they want to bring up in the heat. They're trying to hijack the heat. It's called summer, folks. It's been hot every summer since I've been a little boy. It's called summer. Is it a little hotter than normal? Might be. But now watch this. I wouldn't be a bit surprised if we have a very cold winter. Could have record snowfall this winter. We could have record ice and snow. You know, I have friends up north that told me it snowed all the way into May. We had a call last week from a guy from New Hampshire that said it snowed until May. So that could also be the flip side to this coin. But all this talk about this stuff, to me, is a prime distraction against the high gas prices, the replacement migration into America. Supply chain problems, real food shortages. We have real issues here. You know? And we have people that come over here that need to stop coming. And if they won't stop it voluntarily, or if a Border Patrol guard won't stop them, then by God, put some guns on the border. Every other country does it. Why not America? I'm sorry, hate to burst your bubble, America. We have enough poor huddled masses, to be blunt. We got enough poor people with no skills. We have enough busboys, thank you. We have enough landscapers, thank you. We have enough homeless, thank you. We don't need more. We do not need millions and millions and millions more. No, we don't. The carnage at the border. Hey, I'm sorry, you come up here in 115 degree heat. You have heat exhaustion. You're from Guatemala or Honduras. You die. I'm sorry. That's the risk you took. You assumed the risk. You walked in the hottest time of the year to get up here. You die on the way or you die on the Rio Grande. Sad, tragic, but not my problem. And not your problem. Not my problem. You should have stayed in your own country and made it better. Not go country shopping, hike 1,000 miles to our border, come over here and suck up our water and our benefits and our jobs. We don't have enough to go around, man. Have you heard the news? A lot of tragic stories on that border. And tragedy with our Texas ranchers who keep finding dead bodies on their ranches. Or people they have to get the gun and point at to get thugs off their property. That's going on too. Barely makes the news, but I hear about it. Well, it's just so crazy. It's so bad. You look at the situation, you go, are we really a country anymore? Really? Are we really a country? Are we just a big corporation taking in the low-wage, peasant, shoeless serfs from all over the third world for American corporations and for the Democrat Party who wants them as future voters or future low-wage employees? Well, we'll move on here. We're going to have a little housekeeping to talk about tonight. It's my job to educate the callers a little bit. And when you call the show, which a lot of you do, and I love it, I want you to have a good nickname, not a complicated one. If you call the show and say, I'm EM-3-Z to the nth power, I'm going to change it. That's the host privilege. It's my white privilege. I will invoke it, and I will change your nickname. With my white privilege, I will do that. And you're stuck with it. If you can't do it on your own, I'll do it for you. And I'll say, this is your nickname. So I've had to change a few already. I'm not going to say you're R2-D2 from Planet X every time. Make it short, snappy, cool, hip and trendy, to the point, a cool nickname. No complications there, okay? Also, when you're called, stand and deliver. Just some house rules here in our radio fraternity. I want you to make your points early. A lot of you lately have been great calls. I love them. I play them back and listen. Love it. But one thing I've noticed just in my observations is don't hold back your points. A lot of you talk and ramble for a while, and then you don't even realize about the radio, the calls go really fast. So 15 minutes is about, feels like 5 minutes to you. And I go, well, we're about to go. And you go, I've got like 5 more points to make. I never got to get them out first. Don't wait. Don't hold back. Get them out first. Then we'll chit-chat and talk if time permitting. Okay? Get them out. Now, also, word of the wise, we're getting more and more callers, not less. So, the time we may have enjoyed in prior shows, you may feel is tightening a bit now, and it is. My best advice is to make your points quickly. Get them off your chest. You'll feel better. Trust me. You know, I want to get everyone a chance to get on the air, or at least in our overtime segment. And by the way, if you get into overtime, we have a lot of people. I'd say half our listeners go back and listen to the podcast. We can tell by when they retrieve it, and they go back, and then they listen to all of it. So you will be heard. I'll give you a movie quote from the late, great movie Ferris Bueller. This is a fast-moving show, so if you're not careful, you are going to miss it. And now more news about the show. Stay topical. I normally bring up, you know, 5 or 10, sometimes 15 points during a monologue. Stay topical. We don't want to go off the reservation too far. And also bring up different things if you have the chance, or talk about something in the monologue that pertains to you or things you've heard. We want to cover a lot of territory. We're not trying to be too micro, more macro than micro, but we'll talk about both, you know? So now we'll tell you about our stats of the show. That's just some house rules in our fraternity here. The top five countries that are listening are the same, the USA, our northern neighbor, Canada, Thailand, we love you long time, the UK across the pond with all British friends, and Japan, the empire of the sun, who backstabbed us to Pearl Harbor, but that will remain the same. I know, just kidding, guys, over in Japan. We're now allies. And we are sorry about your prime minister, but I would say this about that. Your security guard for Abe, did they ever look behind them? The guy was standing there in broad daylight for about 5 minutes, and none of you approached him, and none of you said he was too close to the prime minister. I would have walked up to him and said, get the hell out of here, and searched him. He would have found the gun. He would have prevented the assassination. The guy was right there in every video clip I've seen. So the security forces over in Japan need some retraining, to be kind, at the very least. Sorry, Japan, it's the truth. Also, the next Bachelor's Guide to the Galaxy show will be the second Tuesday in August, because I will be traveling. I will be a fellow traveler. So I bumped that show up to the second Tuesday when I get back to the Arizona Mountain Studio. Not to confuse anyone, that's why I'm announcing it. We normally have it, that show on the first Tuesday. It'll be the second Tuesday. On August the 9th will be that show. And then, of course, from there, we will resume the first Tuesday of each month in September and going forward, of course. Now, the big international news tonight is that Vladimir Putin, second in command, survived an assassination attempt by poison. Vladimir Putin, second in command, Nikita Pashushev, was reportedly rushed to the hospital a few days ago after being poisoned. He holds the Russian nuclear football, just in case you want to know. Inquiring minds always want to know. Well, gosh, I think we've got the, in the green room here, the European housewife. We're going to have her on if she can stay in there and get and powder her nose. And she's looking gorgeous as usual. Folks, you've reached the Radio Octagon, the Von Wien Show. We are Legion. We are ruthless. We are everywhere. damn right. That'll get your blood boiling. I don't know what will. I think we have the European housewife calling from the island nation of Cyprus. I believe this is her. Let's patch her through. Cherie, is this you?
Good evening, Vaughn.
Good evening, Cherie, the European housewife. You're sounding as gorgeous as usual, babe. How have you been?
Thank you. You sound so good, too, Vaughn.
Thank you. Thank you. We have a lot to talk about, and I know you heard a little bit of the monologue, and let's get right into it. Cyprus and the immigrants over there destroying that island nation. You had a lot of stories to tell, so I'll give you the floor. It's all yours.
It's the same problem as usual, where Cyprus now is forcing us to wear the mask because of COVID, like that's the big problem again. Yet we're overrun by thousands and thousands of Africans, Syrians. It's just, it's unbelievable, as if the problem is COVID. It's been, recently there's been so much violence. It's been, just recently there was a riot in Ayia Napa, which is a summer holiday town where tourists go to. There was just so many migrants on the street, so many Africans attacking each other with sticks, stones, knives, throwing things at cars, and it's just out of control. I don't know how tourists go there anymore. And there's been a few rapes where they go for the tourists. Once they've had a few drinks, they just pick them off. They're like hyenas. They are waiting for them to come out of the pubs. And then just recently there was a fire in Paphos because they have a big camp here full of migrants, and they thought it was really terrible. There was a few women in that camp, and they thought, oh, my goodness, it's so bad. Let's take those poor women away from all those men and put them in an apartment. So they put them in the apartment. They have this big fight together, blow it all up, put it on fire, got nowhere to live now, and then after all this is in the Greek newspaper, the English newspaper here reported that the fire was due to a candle that got knocked over. And it's just unbelievable, the lies that's going on. It's just like their children, seemingly there's children at the camps too, but they're all looking like men. So these men children got taken away from the camps too, and they got put into a three-star hotel with dinner, you know, breakfast, lunch and dinner, snacks. They had everything for them. And what did they do? They all go into a riot, went crazy, wrecked the whole hotel. This is, I can't understand how people say they're just coming for a better life. Is this their better life? You know, attacking everyone? It's just unbelievable. Wherever you go, there's violence. Wherever I go, when I look around, I'm in Africa. And then people are frightened to talk about this because when you start talking about it, the first thing they say is, well, I'm not racist, but, you know, and they start talking about all the problems they have. And it's nothing to do with racism. It's to do with the behavior of people. It doesn't matter what color they are. You can't live like this. There's another town in Nicosia. They have a welfare office where all the migrants go. That place used to be a really posh area. Now it's the place you don't even want to walk through. The people there are just crying for help. They've got thousands of migrants that's going there every day to get cash, and they go into the people's yards, and it's summertime now, and you put your lovely furniture out, and you sit out. No one can do that. Every night there's 20 migrants in each yard sitting on their chairs, drinking, going crazy, and if you bother them, they attack you or they expose themselves to the women. It's unbelievable. You have no human rights. It's like our human rights have been exchanged for theirs. Now their human rights is more, whatever they do, they can do anything they want. You can't do anything because you've got their NGOs coming out, you're a racist afterwards. And it's like people's frightened of this. I think people are starting to get sick of it because, like our village was attacked and we had to sort that out and got rid of the migrants. Another village a few weeks ago, a friend's village, their village was attacked by a group of Syrians. And they got rid of them all, got their bulldozer out, got rid of their car because it was stealing and they had all their stuff in their car, so they took their stuff back, got the bulldozer, scrammed their car out of there. And then next thing, the police come and arrest the young people that got rid of the crooks. I can't understand this, how it is. And I went down to that village to have dinner last Friday, and we were sitting outside. Mm-hmm. And the police are trawling around looking at us like we're the people that's the problem. You know, we're getting attacked. People's getting attacked, but we're the problem because we defend ourselves. I can't understand how crazy Cyprus is. I can't understand this. It's gotten so bad.
That is crazy, no doubt. God.
Yes.
Well,
so
you're surviving
bad.
Over there. Are you going to stay, or do you think it's time to vamanos and get out of there? What do you think?
Is it
manageable?
Staying.
Is it workable? What do you think?
We're all sticking together with this, but mm-hmm. we've got the highest amount of migrants per capita in the EU. It's in a few, not even 5 years, I think there'll be more of them than us. There will be. And they're already taken over everything. You get gangs. My daughter went on a bus. And she was followed everywhere by Africans. Like she gets off the bus, she gets on another bus, she was walking around in the city, followed by Africans. You cannot go anywhere without getting followed by these people, wanting your phone number, bothering you. They bother all the women. And then they bother the old people for money. They sit there. No one wants to go on a bus anymore because they get on the bus and start doing whatever they're doing. They're demanding money, they're demanding whatever it is for the girls, it's really horrific, and you can't go anywhere. When we went for another dinner down to the Forest Fire place where my husband works, we were going at night time, and I couldn't believe it. We were going along, and this hand came out. There was a hitchhiker in the middle of the highway, this black, he looked like Somali, black, dressed in black. We almost hit him. And then, like 2 weeks before that, a bus driver accidentally ran over a migrant because he was in the middle of the highway. And now I can see what happened, because he was trying to hitchhike on the highway in the dark wearing black, and he's all black. Now, if you hit one of these people, are they going to think it's an accident, or are they going to think you did it on purpose? It's so frightening how they're everywhere. It's like hyenas. They're just like running around, taking whatever they can, scavenging of everything, jumping in everyone. It's like they can do anything because they're protected. They're protected by the thing with the racism.
Sure.
You cannot say anything, or you're racist and you're bad. And it's people.
Oh, God forbid, if you bring it up, you're a racist now, huh? Well, I bet are they all African Americans, pretty much, not African Americans? Well, it's the same thing.
They're
all blacks
from
the continent of Africa,
Somalia,
that are there, right? Pretty much.
Yeah, and
Middle Eastern,
like we've got Pakistanis, people from Bangladesh, people from, all the Middle Eastern countries, lots of Syrians. It's more normal that you'd get Syrians because there was a war there and we're close. All the other ones, since we joined the EU in 2004, now we get Africans. We get everyone that wants an EU passport to come over. And what they do, they're not poor people. They get a flight to Turkey, and then they get that flight from Turkey to the other side, the Turkish side of Cyprus, and then they come over the border. There's more than 100 every day. Coming through the border every day. It's like our borders is rubbish too. It's not just American borders like this. It's our borders are just like, hey, let's all just run through or everywhere. It's just like they're all coming in. You don't know where they're from. And it's funny how they come in. They've managed to board a plane. They managed to do all this. But when they come in, they chuck their passports away. They've got no ID. So I can't understand how they travel without this. But what they do, they throw it away so you don't know who they are. It should be a rule that if you don't have a passport, you just get put in jail and thrown back over the other side. I just can't understand this, how it's allowed to happen.
I agree.
Yeah, it's crazy. And it's like, and there's so many stories with the NGOs about their poor migrants and living like this. People don't want to rent to them because they're racist. People don't want to rent to them because they destroy their houses. you rent to about two people, 20 people will come and live in that house. The weirdest thing they do is demolish the toilets. I can't understand how they break the toilets, but you need the toilet. And they go around in people's yards, wherever they go, defecating people's yards. This is what people have to put up with. They have to go and pick up their
Well, yeah, you're bringing in the third world. It's what they do.
Yeah,
they don't
like
use commodes.
They
use
the
yard.
The
yeah, that's what they do over in Africa. That's what they do in the Middle East. They're only we are wrong to ask them to be civilized. You know, I'm being sarcastic here. That's what they do in their own countries. So why wouldn't they do that in Cyprus? They're just going to bring it right along with them.
And
I've always said if you import the third world, you're going to end up being like the third world. And you're seeing that firsthand.
It feels like the third world now. It feels like the third world. There was one other morning my daughter took her sons to school, and she had the baby. She's got a little baby girl now in the car. She was going slowly. Next thing, she was surrounded by migrants. On the way out, she couldn't move her car. They wanted money, and she couldn't move her car. She was terrified. And then she managed to get away. And then when you report it to the police, it's like, well, you know, maybe they were hungry. Maybe they're not hungry. They get more money than we do. They go, and they get so much allowances. There's so many on drugs. There's so many setting up drug dens. They're not innocent people. They're not like, oh, these poor little. They're all done up like rap people. Like they got their hair like rappers, their clothes, their jewelry. They're not these poor, it's not like a poor asylum seeker that you'd imagine to be like really poor with nothing. Same with the women that were in that flat. They were had their hair done, their nails done. You know, what is this? They're not these poor people. They got into this big fight and then it's all covered up, you know, what they were doing. You can't even feel sorry for the women. And same with the children, the whole lot. There's big problems at school with gangs, that they go into gangs, even the little ones. I can't understand at the primary schools, Syrian gangs of little kids. How is that normal? Breaking the arms.
That's
this is what happened in Paphos. This little boy got his arm broken by a Syrian, by a bunch of 10-year-olds of Syrian kids, broke his arm. Another one had a concussion, this little Cypriot boy. What is this? They go stealing everyone's money. It's like they come in like the mafia. What is this? And people here are very welcoming and nice and kind, and it's so hard for them now with this type of problem to turn the other way and think, this is enough of this. I can't feel sorry anymore. You can't be thinking you're religious. I'm so religious. I'm going to be so lovely to everyone because you're going to get your kids killed. You're going to get your everything stolen. You're going to get your life destroyed by being kind. By being kind to people that don't deserve that kindness.
Well, in that part of the world, they view kindness as weakness. In fact, the more rough and gruff you are, the more they respect you. That's why those countries have always sort of liked Russia over the U.S. of A. Because, one, Russia's pretty – they kill everybody. And they understand that. And they respect that. They don't understand America as much because – again, our national symbol says it all. We have the eagle. In one hand are the arrows of war. The other hand is the olive branch. They just don't get the olive branch part of it. And they never will.
No.
And they're third world people that don't know any better. And that's just their culture. That's where they grew up. All they know. They only know brute force. They don't understand anything else.
This is true. The mentality is so different. It doesn't mesh with the people that they're coming to live with. And then the complaints where they're angry at the welfare officers. There's never enough money, yet the poor Cypriot people don't get as much as they do. And everything is about racism. If they don't get what they want, it's racism. If you don't rent your house to them, it's racism. Everything is blamed on it. They can be as violent as they want. They can go around stealing every night out of everyone's place. They can destroy everyone's yards. They can do all this. But it's racist to say anything. And you've got these ridiculous NGO people. These people are the worst people to work for this because they know what's going on. They know it. And they're covering up all the crime. The character, it's just going to explode here. It's like it's just like it's ready to explode. You can see how people's trying to protect their villages, and they've had enough. They've had enough of trying to be kind, trying to be like. People are very kind here, and they're very religious. They go with their churches. They give gifts. They give money and clothes and food for them. Nothing is appreciated because once you give something, they're back the next day wanting more, and it's never enough. And if there's one day you can't give it, you've really had it. This happened to my daughter's mother-in-law. She was giving to some poor Africans outside her house, she thought. So she was, it's like feeding the birds with more and more come. More and more came every day until she couldn't afford to give food to all these people. And then they started breaking her windows and trashing her house because of her kindness. The kindness.
Doesn't she know that you never feed the animals? Don't feed those animals. Don't feed the trolls on the internet either. But you don't feed them. You feed them, you're asking for problems. Look, in their country, again, they view the charity. I'm telling you how they think. They view the charity from her, which is very good, but they view it as weakness. So when you can't give anymore, they view you as weak, and now they want to conquer you, break up the house, kill, shank, knife people, because they're very demanding, and they're not logical. They're emotional. Highly emotional people in the third world, you know, and so people will say why they do that. They run on emotion and adrenaline and drugs and octane 24/7. You're not dealing with people that think clearly about anything. To them, it's my way or the highway. And if you can't give today, screw you is their attitude.
So true. It's so true. And they don't seem to even get tired. They don't even sleep. They're up all night.
That's what I mean. They're running on
octane.
That's what I meant. They don't sleep. They're like zombies. And, you know, this third world crap everywhere in Europe, Cyprus, and America, and all Western nations.
I looked out the window one night. We were down in Nicosia, and we stayed the night there. I looked out the window. It was like it looked like The Walking Dead, where all the zombies is walking around at night. It was just full of it. It was like hundreds and hundreds of them walking all around, all these men in a stupor, it was like. And I think it's frightening. I used to walk around at night in Cyprus. I used to walk up to a coffee shop from the park with my daughter. I used to walk around and not even be afraid. Now, I would never walk anywhere, ever, ever alone, my kids either. You can't. You have to go in big crowds together. You cannot get out the car in certain places. There's a lot of no-go zones here now. And the poor people in those villages are just crying for help. They're finished. Their life is finished. Their children can't play in the yard. It's so hot. It's summertime, and your kids can't play in the yard. You can't sit on your own table and chairs outside at night and enjoy the moonlight now in the summer, you know, the nice summer nights. You can't do that because you're going to get attacked. So you're trapped in your house.
That's right. They're going to be.
Where there are people around and they've got this card, the racism card, to get you. It's so ridiculous. I don't even care about it. I do not care. As soon as you start talking normally about it, people start opening up and start speaking and telling all what's happened to them too. You have to talk to each other. And the thing is, we all have to stick together. All the villages, you have to protect yourselves. It's nothing to do. You cannot rent to people that's going to destroy your house, that's going to take advantage of you. Who cares if you're racist? Who cares if this is? You're not racist. You're just protecting your property. It's ridiculous, the whole thing. People should not
people
be afraid.
People have to get over being called words, you know. Sheree, they
know,
have to get over
words.
This. Oh, a
I've
word.
A
they called me a bad. Who cares?
I don't care.
Who cares? I mean, look, it's either your a life or your family, or you're afraid of being called a bad word. And personally, they've been trained to say that by their handlers. There's many nefarious organizations that are all over the world that bring these people into various Western countries. We know who they are. We've been tracked. Mm-hmm. And the thing is they are taught when people don't give you what you want, call them a racist. We're going to use white guilt and make and make the Europeans and the Western people afraid of you. I call them this, call them that. And it's all done on purpose. It's all done by design to get the good people of Cyprus to capitulate, give in, don't fight back, and they make you a prisoner of your own home, basically.
It is. And they bring in weapons. They bring in guns. They've got machetes.
Yes.
Just a few weeks ago, a man came out of a concert and was hacked to death. And where I go shopping, and I was thinking, I could never imagine anything like this ever happening. Just a few years ago, I can't understand how this is happening. But it's because there's so many of them now, they've gotten emboldened. It's like groups running around together wherever you go. There's different types of groups. When I go to shopping at the mall, there's Pakistani groups going together to harass the women. Wherever you go, there's a big gang of men, 10, 12, 15 men, follow you around and harass you. I get this all the time with my daughters. And then on the streets, it seems to be African gangs, and they follow you around there. It's like you can't go anywhere. You can't sit alone. You can't do anything. You can't even sit in a coffee shop without some idiot coming over and start bothering you. And it's like, what the hell is this? You can't do anything now. There's nothing. It's like totally destroyed, where you're worried about your kids. You're worried about whether they get home. You're asking, are you home yet? Are you home yet? Because I've got my kids live all different places. And it's just like, what is this? It's just, it's made loud.
Well, yeah, that's what they do.
Has destroyed
to suck the life out of you, suck the life out of your family.
They want to
ruin the joy that you would normally have during summer with your loved ones, you know, and that's what they do. They are very destructive to the Western nations and the Western peoples. They should have never been brought over, and the millions and millions, and they are allowing it. And I have always said, this will implode and explode one of these days. And when it does, I've been predicting this for a while. It takes a while, but there's going to come a point where there will be the point of no return. And when it explodes, you know, don't call my show and say, we never saw this happening. I never heard of this. Nobody ever. No, I will call them out and say, BS. We've been talking about this for 7 years straight on my show, and there will be no mercy for those people when it happens. In my view, I think the anger will be so swelled up. People will just say, the hell with the police. They're going to stand down anyway. And I can easily see where people would take the law into their own hands. Right, wrong, or indifferent, I just see that happening. What are your thoughts?
Yes, and in Cyprus, we were invaded by Turkey in 1974. This is an invasion by stealth. The Turkish allow them coming in, and they're invading in a different way. They're mostly Islamic, and we're getting full of this. They're laughing at us. We got invaded, half our island's gone, but this time, it's going this way. It's another type of invasion, and it's on purpose. And they're all coming through, and people are not going to put up with this. It will explode, and then I can't see the. I know a lot of good policemen. There's a lot of stupid ones, but there's a lot of good ones that are saying this is crazy. What's happening? You know, this is just unbelievable. They're just coming in. They're violent. What do we do with this? And it's like, they're ordered not to do a certain things. If we were behaving in that way, we'd be arrested. You know, if any man here would expose himself to people in their welfare office or in their, you know, made sexual threats, we'd be arrested. Everyone would be arrested. You're not allowed to do any of this, but they don't get arrested. That's where I think is the racism. Why aren't they treated the same way as we are? They should have the same rights and everything else. You should be able to be arrested if you behave like a, you know, like a crazy person, just like a white person would. Exactly the same rules should apply for them. That's racism to say, look, oh, it's just like, you know, it's just a migrant. They don't know what they're doing. Oh, sorry, they do know what they're doing, and they should have exactly the same punishment as we would have.
I agree. But that won't happen because that's racist. See, they'll say that's racist.
Yeah, it's like
right?
going around a circle.
They can't have
the
same.
The
see, there's
the
two tiers. There's two tiers here. There's they let the migrants from Africa, the Middle East, or whatever the hell they want in Cyprus. And God forbid if you're a British person in Cyprus or if you're a, you know, white Western person in Europa, you stand up for yourself, you're a racist. And they'll come at you
even
and they'll
the,
I've seen
the
them the bobbies in
it.
England will
the
arrest
rules.
Them, throw you to the ground, call you names, destroy your life. They want to get you fired. They want to get you evicted. They're vicious.
True.
It's not just and how dare you go against the globalist dreams where we all sing kumbaya and hold hands, the white, the brown, the black, the yellow, the red, the purple, the blue, the green. It's what they want. We're all supposed to hold hands, sing kumbaya. Well, we're not all the same. We're not all the same. It's just a fallacy. It's a Marxist belief that they cram down everyone's throat and we're not all the same. And this is why nations and countries years ago went about their own merry way. This is why you had, it was called the Dark Continent of Africa. Not so much because they were black, because nothing ever happened there. It was by history, it was the Dark Continent. All the action was in Europe. You had the French people, German, Irish, Welsh, English, Danes, Italians. You had Sicilians. You had people in Austria, Luxembourg, Poland, Hungary. They were all once tribes who formed their own nations. Mighty Russia. On top of that, this idea of mixing the third world with the West is they think it's going to go one way. But I have news for them. I think it's going to go a different way. And I know what they're wanting, that, you know, they use the clergy play and all these different things. They want to, you know, make it a big melting pot. But the pot's going to boil over. And they can't see it, but I can. I'm glad you're surviving out there in Cyprus, but from the sound of it, Cherie, I'm with you, babe. It's just, what a disaster, you know?
Yeah, it's been tough, but you know, we're sticking together. Everyone's sticking together. What I notice is that there's people that come actually have a lot of hatred for the people in this country. I can understand you come to this country and you have this hatred. They have this attitude like you think you're better than them when you're, you know, people spending over backwards trying to help them. And for some reason, everyone, every type, or I've talked to a few people, that they all say that they're doctors, they're this, they're that, they're whatever it is, yet they have no ID. When you keep your ID, if you had your doctor's certificate to, you know, everyone's all this big person in their country. It's just full of lies. What they are, they've just come over here for the EU money. They wanted the EU passport. They've left all their families at home. It's majority men. It's 99% men, military-aged men coming over. Half of them, there was even a terrorist group from Nigeria settled in Limassol, and it was in the newspaper, and I thought, how is this possible that you're writing about a terrorist group getting together in Limassol and showing a photo of them, and that is seemingly normal now? How is this normal? Nothing's normal. It's a deliberate plan to just get rid of all our countries. You know, every European country is getting destroyed. And Cyprus is so small, we're going to be the first to go down really bad because there's no not seeing it. Everywhere, before we could ignore it, you cannot ignore it now because wherever you go, you're in Africa or the Middle East. And you're not welcome there because you're not part of them. They've taken over. And you
That's
have to
right.
really watch out where you go. So it's no longer your place. It's theirs now. It's theirs. It can only get worse.
That's right. They take it over by sheer numbers. And they've been allowed in.
Yes.
They've been allowed in
the
by these organizations,
the
by the government leaders who are paid off.
Disgusting.
And
yes,
to me, they're
they
all traitors.
To. They deserve what traitors get. And they don't live near that. They live in their love. That's how when you were saying about taking all the migrants to the Washington, D.C., I'd like to take all the migrants here right to the presidential palace and let them all off there and let them all sit there and they can go and poop all over their lawns and stay around there, around the president's area, because I'm sure he wouldn't like it.
I would tell your friends over there to pull some money together, you know, get some charter buses, and just do it.
And dump them
on the presidential palace and try to be as stealth as possible because you don't want to implicate yourself, right? But and then you tell the migrants over in Cyprus, go in that presidential palace. If you go in there, they'll give you free food and money. That's what I would tell them. And they'll storm the palace.
Love you so much. That's how they allow you in. They love you there. The president loves you.
So glad you're here. Get the free money, the free food. Grab anything you want that's not nailed down. It's all yours for the taking. That's what I would tell them. Sure.
And there's another thing.
Use their tactics against them. That's what they do to you. I say tit for tat. Use it against them. How about those
it's
apples?
Crazy. It's even a problem if you hire them to work, because there was farmers hiring them to work. These are the ones that said who they are, and they hired them to work. And once they hired them, this farmer hired four of them to work on his field. Once he hired them, they all claimed asylum. So he hired them, and he couldn't hire anyone else because he had to go through all these court cases until it went through, because they all claimed asylum because they didn't want to work on the farm. So they're making farms go down like this because they can't get other people to work until they sort out this asylum claims with the ones they got. So they even hiring them to work is scary, because if they claim asylum while they're working, you have to go through the court cases, go through the whole thing before you can hire anyone else to work. So it's not even worth them working on your farm or wherever they're going to work. It's not even worth hiring them. It's scary.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, it's just one stupid thing after another.
Crazy.
Silly rule. It's crazy. And all the rules seem to go their way. Even
of course.
The COVID doesn't
of course.
Apply to them. They don't. We're all supposed to be wearing masks again, but not if you're a migrant. You don't get told. You can even go together in big crowds. No one will tell you what to do. It's only the people that live here are supposed to follow these COVID rules.
That's right. That's right. If you live there, you must follow the rules. If you don't live there, you're exempt. They're exempt.
By law.
No one
stops them to give them a fine for not wearing a mask because they know they're not going to pay it. They're just going to bother all the people that will pay it.
Yeah, and their typical third world mentality, you can give them food, you can give them water, and they're a bottomless pit. It's never enough. And if you miss one payment or if you miss a food basket, they hate your guts, the knives come out, they're ready to kill you. That's how they operate.
That is exactly right. That's exactly how it is. You can't even help. If you see someone, you can't help them, because if you do, there's going to be 10 the next day, and if you don't help them, you're finished.
There's an old saying, Sheree, no good deed goes unpunished. Never forget that.
Yeah, it's true.
No good deed ever goes unpunished. In this country of America, the K or Cyprus, you help these people out. Like, we have the same problem in America. We have all these migrants that come up from, you know, Guatemala, Honduras, Cuba. They're from Haiti. How do they get to our southern border with Mexico? Well, there are organizations that fly them in, get them in my boat, give them instructions. They give them a food pack, a little money, a little debit card or something, and say, follow this caravan, start walking your ass off. Beat it. Next. And go to America, where they give you all the freebies. Well, when they get to our border, they go, Señor, I'm oppressed in my nation. I need food and water, Señor. My bambinos, my baby, they need baby formula. You might be out now, but I bet you'll get more later because you're a big, rich uncle, America. Can I come in? Can I come in, please? Please, senor. For me, familia. And the poor guys go, well, we'll let them in. They seem like they'd be some good workers here. And they get over the board and they go, screw you, gringo. F you. F your flag. F your country. I'm going to get all the money I can out of you. Squeeze you like a dry. Now I'll attack you and take over your lands. Azalan. Marie Conquista of America. They do a 180. And you see them driving all around Dallas, Phoenix, L.A. with the Mexican flags and Russian flags, I may add, not American flags, because Mexico will tell you we like Russia over America. The little undercurrent there in the politics that most people don't know about. I saw two videos earlier today of the Mexicanos driving around with the Mexican and Russian flag. They want to use America for the money. Use us for the services, for the resources. Drive around a big truck. Wear a big belt buckle. Feel big and important. Big cowboy hat, whatever. They don't really like the country. They're all here to suck us dry, same as where you're at in Cyprus. No, not all are like that. But in America, I'd say far more than half. I'd say the vast majority are like that. Now, this is not your dad's immigrant. We don't have, grandfather Juan Valdez, I always say, coming over on the burro to pick coffee beans or lettuce in California. The new crop coming up, they want nothing to do with their countries because their countries don't give out any welfare. They're country shopping. They're opportunists. I don't blame them on one end. If I was in their lot, I might do the same thing. Doesn't mean I would get in. But that's what they're doing. And the same thing over there. They have organizations that bring them into Cyprus. It's all part of the plan.
Yeah.
It's all designed
this way. My husband and I, we were migrants. We both went to Australia when we were little kids. We were checked out. We had to fill in forms before we got on that boat. We were all checked out, everything. And then you go there as a family, and we worked. There was no welfare. We went there. My dad worked, got a job straight away as a truck driver. In 2 years, he bought his own house. He worked really hard. It was different, and we got along with all the Australian people because we were the same type of people. The same, like, religion, the same type of morals, the same everything. So it all worked out together. There was Italians going to Australia, Greeks going, British people. And we all went down there, checked out, worked hard. And that was a different type of migrant than this migrant. You don't know who they are. They throw away their passports.
Right.
They come over, want free stuff. They don't want to work. And if they do, they'll claim asylum when they're bored. And then they just want everything. They're on the take. They're taking everything. They want your stuff. They're looking at you with hatred because you've got a house or whatever. They're looking angry at you while you're giving them. The people that give them stuff, they actually hate them because they feel like they're lower than you because you're giving them all this stuff, like you're so good, you're giving. That's the attitude. They're not thinking, oh, this lovely woman's giving me all this food. And
they don't
thinking,
think
oh,
like that. No, don't give them anything is what I'm saying. Cut them off.
And that's what I keep saying.
Don't
I
give
thought,
them any. You're
yeah,
asking
thought,
for problems
a lot of people
if you give
it.
Them anything over there. I'm serious. Cut them off.
As I said, give
Screw
it to
them.
The poor people in your family. You know, look around and see who needs to be helped. See who's really going to be appreciative. If you've got things to give, give it to the people in your own village. Because that
right.
is like feeding... Feeding some kind of hyena.
Charity begins at home.
Yeah, it's very true. This, very true. You have to.
And let's go one step further. Is a great comment in our chat room. What I was about to say. The guy was thinking along my lines. They don't hate you because you have a house. Well, that's what that is one reason why they hate you. They also hate you because you're white. You're European white. They've been trained. Let's just call a spade, pun intended. They've been, let's look, let's just cut the, as you well know, that's what, look, a lot of white, that's the big elephant in the room that a lot of whites don't like to talk about. Well, they'll trip over themselves talking about everything but that. It is about race at some point. They've been taught to hate whitey, to be blunt. They've been taught. They've been taught their whole lives to hate whitey. You're ahead, and you've got a house, and you've got some assets. They've been taught that you stole it from them, the third world, and they never produced anything, hardly a value.
Yeah.
And we found their damn oil, too.
It's a crazy thought process there. Crazy. Where they're the victims.
It's what
that
they think, and it emanates in their behavior.
People took everything.
Well, right, but that's what it is. It's there will never be – it's all designed to not give you peace over in Cyprus. It's all designed to – remember, they want to foster civil unrest, that constant tension, irritation, seeing them having to
–
you being – they like it that demands are put on you and your friends and your locale for food, for money. They like that. Because you're being annoyed. You're being irritated. Remember, they want to spread misery equally. And if you're living good in any Western country, they don't like that. Eventually, there will be a program where they'll put the Middle East down your street, in your suburb. It's coming to America. They've already talked about it. They want to bring the third world to your street, literally your physical street. And they love it when
Cyprus,
your car's broken
Cyprus
into.
Cyprus is too normal for them. Cyprus is too normal. There was like families, people getting, most people get married, they have their kids. It was too.
That's right.
It was
they don't want that.
It was too homely, too
it's
religious.
Wonderful.
Everyone's Greek Orthodox, and the majority of people were religious, just had their families, worked hard. It was too good. It had to be destroyed. And this is what's
That's
happening.
That's right.
It was just too good. It was too safe.
To the globalists, we've been living too good in the West, too high off the hog, and it's time for the party to be over. And that's how they view it.
Everyone's too happy over there. There's no crime.
Too happy. Can't have that. That's right.
No.
God forbid. And also they will kill your pets for the sport of it.
Yes,
they'll put like glass in a steak and throw it over the fence, knowing your dog's going to eat it and die of internal injuries. They've done that before. They will steal your kids and they will kidnap them, put them on the black market.
There was this lady that had
sabotage your house, your cars. Anything to destroy your life, your sense of well-being, your sense of safety will be utterly attacked.
It's true. There's no safety now. There's no safety because I have to keep my door locked all the time. And I'm in the village. I never used to have to do that. I used to leave the car door open. I didn't even care about nothing. Because there was no one
right.
to steal anything. No one would do that. Everyone was, we knew everybody and everyone was friends. And nobody would lower themselves to steal from another person. It was very rare to have crime in here. And this is how we know fully, 100%, the crime is from the migrants. And this is what we've got now.
Yes,
the
it
bank
is.
Bank robberies, shops getting robbed, people getting up and attacked on the street. It's so bad, carjackings. It's just unbelievable how we've let the monsters in to attack us, you know, to help them to have a better life. It's crazy.
They are monsters. And I say don't help them when I owe it. We should have left them in their crap countries to begin with. Should have never brought
that's
them over.
Right,
but it's not our doing, it's other people's doing.
Because that's what they are. They're behaving like crap, so that's why their countries are like that. There's only a small percentage of them that behaves normally, and the rest destroy their own country, and they come everywhere and destroy everywhere they go. So this is how it is. That's why their countries like that, because that's what they are like. It's not like it's just because they're
that's
poor.
That's right.
It's not that. It's not that. It's because that's their mentality. Their country is like that, and that's why they come to another country, bring their mentality with it and bring it all down like their own country. And each village
that's
is
right.
going like Africa. It's exactly like this, or the Middle
they
East.
They
want
to bring us down to their level, bottom line. They want to bring America and the West and Cyprus and other countries down to the Afrikaner level, like the African nations, the Middle East nations. That's what they want. They want the West to look like Haiti, in their political fantasy. And it's really, you know, it's an anti-European, anti-white philosophy. I call it what it is. I don't believe there is a real agenda to it. It's a deep rabbit hole. And it is what it is. I've read about the people who are in favor of these things, and it all leads to certain groups. I'll leave it at that. But European Housewives, I'm so glad to have you on the show. We have a lot of calls that want to talk about what you're talking about, and I want to get them on the air. What are your final thoughts to the world, to Cyprus, and to America tonight? And it's always been a pleasure having you on the Von Weekend Show. Go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Vaughn. Thank you so much. And we'll just keep going and keep fighting the good fight, because I think our country is worth it, because there's no way we're going to let an invasion again come through Cyprus in a different way. There's no way. All we can do is be happy, keep our families close, and be strong and fight against.
I like that. European Housewife, always a pleasure. We'll have you on again, rest assured. Love talking to you, and thank you so, so much. Well, get a drink, folks. Get a cocktail. Get something. Strap yourselves in. Put your crash helmet on. Get your cocktail, your adult beverage, your beer, whatever. I shall be back. I guarantee it. There. Let's get to back on the studio board here. Let's get to the gladiator from his compound in North Phoenix. He's there. Gladiator, how are you doing tonight, man? Are you there?
Good, man. What's going on?
Good, man. We had a great interview there with the European Housewife of Cyprus. Very, she had, my God, story she had tonight. They can't walk or talk or go anywhere without bumping into all these Middle Eastern African migrants wanting to shank them and steal from them. And unbelievable.
Every time she comes on, Cyprus gets worse every time she comes on. It's stupid.
Yeah. It does. That's why I asked her in the first segment, I go, are you going to stay over there? What's your plans, baby? I'm asking as a friend. You know, we talk on Facebook a lot. And she keeps saying, we're going to hold out. I mean, I'm going to tell her later on tonight on Facebook, you need to think about packing your bags and finding a new home. She's welcome to come to Arizona anytime.
I remember that their shutdown and lockdown was so tight that I thought that was one of the reasons she couldn't leave. Because the government...
You are correct. But I think she can leave now, but she's going to... hold the line. Well, I mean, here's the problem. Avoidance of that problem, and of course, she's just one person, right? She's doing the best she can to mitigate that. But this is a systemic problem in many Western countries. And, it's going to be time for a lot of people in the world to organize and to pick which side you're on, because we were all hoping, wishing, waiting, right, that everything would get better, and the right people would get up there and all these countries. And all I see, I tell people, they ask me all the time, I go, all I see, man, is I see it getting worse, not better. I wish I didn't have to say that, but I don't see it getting better. And I wish I was wrong, but I got to be truthful to myself, you know?
Yeah, no, exactly.
Thoughts?
Here's what it is. Like, they knew that they had gotten the power by giving the money and shutting everything down and telling people, shut her inside, don't move, don't go anywhere. We're going to give you the money. But, and then, they want a lot of the money back. I mean, now they're asking for the money back, right? So, a lot of people that are hurting that don't know law too well, I'm sure it's happening in other countries. Now they're asking for all that money back that they gave, not only to the businesses, but to the individual people who were told, shut her in place, and we're going to pay you, and you're eligible. And, all of a sudden, this eligibility, after 14, 15, 16 months, they're like, nope, you weren't eligible. But wait, we said you were eligible, and we paid you, and you're right. We're the ones that told you, but now we want the money back. And it's like, no, it doesn't work that way. But I know a lot of people out there don't know that it doesn't work that way. And now they don't have the money to pay. And, what do they think these people did with the money? I mean, they paid their bills, right? You shut them out of a job and they paid their bills, And what are they, all these people have $20,000, $30,000, $50,000 in their bank accounts. It doesn't make sense, right? So now they got the power. Now they think they still have the power. You hear it all the time, right, on TV. Well, Dr. Fauci said there's another pandemic coming, and it's the monkeypox.
Gotta hate that guy.
Grab your bananas. They're coming after him, And,
And then he says, I'm going to retire. Then I'm not going to retire. Of course, these guys, they never retire. They want to be in power forever, and – They never die. They will all be alive like Kissinger to 100, 125. I'm serious. These people never die. The evil ones never die. They just live forever. Yeah.
It's like Billy Joel wrote about it in a song, right? Only the good die young.
That's right. Great song. Great song.
Now we're in this dilemma that it's not that they were given power, but they were given power, right? And now it's like anything that comes up is a pandemic. So here's the new numbers on the monkeypox. You'll love it. You're going to love this. Worldwide, 11,000 cases. So Gottlieb, the former CDC guy under Obama, who, they always interview on CBS Sunday mornings, he's the current CDC director. They love that guy. He yells pandemic every week. But, 11,000 worldwide cases. In America, there's 1,800 cases of monkeypox. Now, they still have not released the smallpox vaccines out to take care of the people who happen to be the same people that the Democrats say they love. Gay men. 1,800 cases
right.
in the United States. 1,800 cases, U.S. Nine of the 1,800 are women who most likely had sex with a bisexual man, and zero children. It's a gay man's disease, just like HIV/AIDS under Ronald Reagan, who they bastardized for. He didn't do anything for HIV and AIDS. He did nothing for the gay men. And here they are doing zero for the gay men of America that the Democrats literally say, we love you, vote for us, because we'll always take care of you. Except when monkeypox comes around, we're going to let them steal all your bananas and we're going to let you get sick. You know? And
yeah.
Right? I mean, you can't make this stuff up. They are hypocrites, man. Total hypocrites. And if this isn't flat-out proof, if the gay community doesn't wake up out there, right, if they vote Democrat, I mean, there should be a nationalist group called the Gay Nationalists of America, right, or the New Republicans, you know, they should be all gay white men or gay black men.
Mm-hmm.
Who the United States government right now, those Democrats could care less about them. Die, you bastards, die, right? Because remember, right, remember,
right.
You know, a lot of people don't remember this. Look, the Democrats were Southern Democrats in the 1800s. They all owned the plantations. They all owned the blacks. They all owned them.
Mm-hmm.
They voted no to the civil rights in 1865. All the Southern Democrats, they were the senators and the congressmen. Only the Republicans voted yes for the Civil Rights Act of 1865. And in 1965, only Republicans voted yes for the Civil Rights Act again, 100 years later, and all the Southern Democrats voted no. The Democrats
right.
don't like the black people. They hate them. Remember, Woodrow Wilson, in 1920, started with his, like, his little friend, right, the woman he was having sex with on the side, Planned Parenthood in all of the black communities to genocide all the black babies out of the black women. Okay? That was started by Woodrow Wilson, the first declared progressive Democrat. Okay? They don't,
mm-hmm.
they don't like the blacks, they hate the blacks. And Woodrow Wilson, his party, the group that walked him into his reelection campaign convention, was the Ku Klux Klan. Woodrow Wilson put the first movie in the White House and showed it. And it was The New America, the movie about the Ku Klux Klan, because Woodrow Wilson, the first progressive
Nations,
Democrat.
It's called The Birth of Nations, yep.
Birth of Nations, and he was a Ku Klux Klan member. He was a Ku Klux Klan
right.
member out of Missouri, okay? And nobody really remembers that, right? Nobody wants the Democrats. Oh, we don't want to remember that. And we don't want to remember that Andrew Jackson started the party because he was the largest plantation slave owner out of Louisiana. We're going to pretend it was Abraham Lincoln because of the Emancipation Proclamation, right? We're going to pretend. But he was the father of the GOP Republican Party. But no, we're going to steal him, make him our party starter. But no, it started 45
That's
years
right.
before that. In 1820 with Andrew Jackson, the largest plantation owner ever, a Southern Democrat, planet Earth, United States, right? So,
right, well, Paul, I always said that Obama co-opted Lincoln. He always talked about how great Abraham Lincoln was. And I tell people, when the Democrats take over Abraham Lincoln, I mean, you know, the father of the Republican Party. But that just tells
right.
me more than what I know. In the sense that, in other words, what Obama's really saying is, we're both one party. The Republicans today, at least, and the Democrats, are one party in Washington, D.C., and that's how they view it. So they do co-opt because, to them, we're one big party anyway now. There's very little difference in a Republican and a Democrat on Capitol Hill. Very little difference. There's not much that I see. There's a few Republicans that are really good, but the vast majority, Rhino City, man. And they go right along with the Democrats, whatever they want,
yep.
you know, like the Liz Cheney's, the Kissinger, or the Kissinger, the guy that's on this Stalin show trial. They vote with the Democrats on many, many issues. Sad to say.
They're, you know, and they're eating their cake now, but they're never going to get reelected. They're screwed. Liz Cheney's screwed. But, you know, when you went to the Democratic National Committee office, the one president that is up at this huge portrait behind the desk is Abraham Lincoln, the father of the Republican Party. That's at the Democratic National Committee chair building. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying, because they view the parties as one, the two-headed snake.
They're stealing Abraham Lincoln away from us. That's all. They're great salesmen, man. Look, they're car salesmen.
They're trying
right?
to. So, I'm saying they're definitely trying to. But see, to me, it's not really a steal or a theft as much, but I get your point.
Oh, yeah.
I see them viewing the parties as one now. And to them, they're interchangeable because
you know, it's like,
what they believe and what the rhinos believe are very similar. That's all.
Well, it's like this. Louis Anderson, you know, the comedian, had a great bit many years ago, made me laugh super hard. And I remember it because I was laughing so hard. He said, look, you know, car salesmen, if they lie to you when they're selling a car, they should chop a piece of their finger off. So you know when the guy's waving you in and there's only three fingers up on the hand when he's waving you into the lot, you know you're going to deal with a liar, right? And he said, and we should do that to the politicians too. We should cut little pieces of their finger off, kind of like the Saudi Arabians do. When they catch a thief, they chop the hand off.
That'd
right?
be awesome.
Right, but they do it.
That
right?
would be
they
awesome.
They chop the right hand off in Saudi Arabia because now you know you're dealing with a thief, right? So,
right. Right.
That's what they should do to politicians as well. And if they did that, no Democrat would have any fingers. They'd have club hands because they literally will
that's
lie
right.
through their teeth. They're stealing everything Republican, you know, since 1865 because they know that they owned all the damn slaves in America, all the plantations in southern in the southern states. You know, look, they even say, well, Robert E. Lee, we got to take that statue down. Why? It's your Democrat general. Why do you hate your Democrat general? No, he was a Republican. No, sorry, the South was Democrat. The North was Republican. Get your shit straight. Don't, you know, if I was in a presidential one-on-one debate with a Democratic candidate, whether I had to run it as a Republican or if I could run as a nationalist, I would say, look, who's the father of your Democratic Party? They would probably say Abraham Lincoln because they're all stupid as bats, right? And I have to say, no, Andrew Jackson was the largest plantation ever out of Louisiana. He owned the largest plantation in the United States. He started in 1820. What? Yeah. Okay. Now, who voted yes or no on the 1865 Civil Rights Bill? Democrats, did they vote yes or no? Well, of course the Democrats voted yes. And in 1965 as well? Yeah. No. Google gods, tell everybody. You see everybody at home in their computers asking the Google gods, okay, who's the father of the Democratic Party, right? Oh, was he? Did he actually own the largest sugar plantation, right? And then, you know, who voted yes in 1865? Who voted yes in 1965? Everybody listening to the show, ask the Google gods. Trust me, they know. I don't know everything. I know a lot, but I don't know everything. The Google gods, they know everything. They will bring it to your doorstep and hand it to you with black and white ink and say, this is the reality of the situation. You ask them a question, and they bring it to you, right? They're like waiters. Google gods are like waiters in country clubs. You ask them for a drink, they bring you a drink. You ask the Google gods a question, they bring you the answer, right? Just ask them, people. You'll discover this. And tell your Democrat neighbors. Ask them
invoke the Google gods of the Von Wien Show. Yes,
yeah,
we shall. God, great points, Paul. Good rant, brother. Hey, man, you have a great night out there, man. We'll talk again soon. You know it.
You got it, bro. Have a good night.
That's the Gladiator. Love that. Let's get some more calls here. Always good to hear from everyone. Well, right here, I just want to say something, though. In thinking about what, you know, what Paul said and Cherie and everybody, but mainly my VIP guest, Cherie, this Cyprus is on fire. It's a disaster, right? Well, my thoughts are this. America, we can't keep bringing in millions of third world migrants into the country and expect things to, quote unquote, get better. We are rapidly running out of precious resources for the citizens and millions of new arrivals. They suck up the existing water supplies, exacerbating the problems that much more and that much worse. They're already sucking up the West dry. I told you before on the show, you've got to think of these things a little bit scientifically. Each migrant, plus or minus, will suck up between the average human, and put it this way, in the Southwest, anywhere in the world, needs 10 to 15 minimum, but normally 15 to 20 gallons of pure, precious water each day for cooking, cleaning, etc. You add it all up over time. So each day, if we bring in 2 million extra people, that's 2 million people that need 10 to 15 gallons of water per day. Do the math. If you just add in some fudging there, it's about 20 to 30 million gallons of water per day. That's on a good day. Extra water over and above what we need as citizens of the country. We can't. I keep saying there's no secret to why Lake Mead is being run dry. Lake Elsinore in California, other lakes in Texas in the South, sucked dry. We don't have an unlimited water supply. We used to, until we let in the whole third world. It was bad enough just keeping us fed, watered, employed, housed. We cannot house, feed, water millions and millions and millions of people. We're going to have water wars. We're going to have food wars. We're going to have, hopefully not, but we could have civil war, major civil unrest when things really get bad. And we're letting people, too many people in the country. We cannot absorb them or vet them. What's so funny about this government is they want us to wear masks, right, and have COVID restrictions, and you can't do this, and you can't do that, micromanage your lives, right? But they'll let in millions of people at our southern border, and nobody's checked for COVID. Our government is a joke. They're hypocritical, stupid. It's all done by design. They want them to come in with disease. They want them to contaminate your cities, your towns, urban areas, country areas. They're not vetted. No one's checking them for COVID or tuberculosis or hepatitis or STDs or anything, any disease, any contagion. My God, if you were a biological warfare expert, I would just pack a bunch of people and throw them up on the Texas border and say, start walking into America. Well, they're almost doing that now with fentanyl. By the way, another PSA I'll tell you, which we talked about before on the show, do not buy any drugs online. The cartels and the red communist Chinese are lacing drugs from all kinds of online pharmacies with fentanyl. And Americans are dying, about 1,000 per day is what the latest S. It's an epidemic in this country. It's not getting enough airtime. I told you years ago on my show, we talked about asymmetrical warfare. We talked about China and them bringing in these drugs to America. You know, word of the wise. Only go to a pharmacy to get your medications. Do not try to save a dollar. It might end your life. Don't go online. Even any online store is suspect. Be extremely careful with any pills that you take for anything, even for your pet, but especially for you and your family. But they are trying to kill Americans. This is their design in Red China. They have partnered up with the cartels in Mexico. And they're trying to kill Americans and get your money for the drug. And then they want you to basically self-suicide. I know it sounds like doom and gloom to some people and very, very harsh, but it's the harsh reality that no one's really talking about, but we will talk about on my show. These things are relevant. These things are happening. Be very careful out there in more ways than one. You have to worry about online pharmacies now. You've got to worry about shooters, and you got to worry about militant minorities and militant migrants, militant people moving in, being shoved into your neighborhood by Biden and the Democrats. Have your head on a swivel, folks. Be prepared. And I'm telling you, this is going to blow at some point. We've been talking about that for a long time on the show. And I'm not kidding. I just can't see the trajectory that this country is on is not, I repeat, not sustainable. Right now we're seeing fault lines everywhere. We hope the country will survive. We want the country to do well. What you hear from my show is like the Paul Revere radio. I'm saying the communists are coming. The communists are coming. In 1776, we said the British were coming. Well, they may be coming too again to reclaim this land. But the thing is we have a lot of issues that are coming up. L.A. will one day implode on itself, in my view. We met a guy on Telegram named Stefano, who's an Italian. Only white guy, he said, in the whole block. He gets menacing looks and dirty looks from all the minorities that surround there. Homeless people give him the evil eye. You know what I mean. Let's just cut to the chase. I told him it will be like a scene from Mad Max in the apocalypse. Get the hell out of there. Those images of L.A. and other Democrat cities will be broadcast all over the nation at the drama and the carnage, God forbid, taking place in the streets. For a few things are bad now. This is just the beginning, in my view, of what's going to be unfolding in this nation. We've got to understand that there's a lot at stake here. Let's get to the Gunslinger. He's been on hold for a while. We got Irish Pirate on hold, too, and Brett the Surfer and Lincoln. We'll try to get you all in and more. Gunslinger, are you there on deck?
Yes, on deck with all hands there. How you doing, Vaughn?
How you doing, man?
Pretty hot these days, man. It's been 108 to 110 here in Texas. That's pretty odd for...
I know. The scorcher. Well, you're now Texas, Arizona. See, we're pretty hardy. See, we're used to those temperatures here. We're climatized. Been 115 here every day, just about. And, you know, not 24/7, but at the height of, you know, from noon to 6, put it down, that's our peak of the day. But nights aren't too bad. We've had some nice nights, actually, but normally it's in the 90s. It goes down about 20 degrees. So, yeah, you're now Texas, Arizona, man.
Yeah, welcome to Arizona here. Absolutely. They said that it was even so hot over in Europe that there was a couple of the airport runways that melted. Okay.
Yeah, I saw that in England.
Yeah.
Yes, I saw that.
Actually melted. Well, now that's getting a little warm there, no doubt, you know.
Oh, yeah.
But,
oh, yeah.
You know, speaking of the invasion of America, it's – what is this – I mean, this is war. You know that? This is absolutely war.
Yeah, it is.
The invasion of these idiots that's coming over this border. Just a willy-nilly. I mean, come on in. Why not? You know, it's a big old party now, isn't it? Thanks to you-know-who in the White House, okay? And,
yeah,
you know, these idiots are sending aid to these people. They're sending all this kind of stuff to these other, you know, Ukraine and all these other places. But yet here, the American citizens, the legal citizens, I guess we're out to lunch, huh? Isn't that crazy? It's insane.
Well, I think they marked America for destruction. People always say, you know, your show should be more uplifting, Vaughn. We don't want to hear about these things. We want to hear everything is going to be great. A chicken in every pot, Vaughn Wehunt. You bring up things that I don't want to think about. I get a lot of emails like that. And I get a lot of people that say, look, I said, I would love to talk about how America's back, shining city on a hill. We're so wonderful. Everything is under control. Trust me. I would love to sit back, have a beer, crack jokes about the rest of the world and see how great we are over here, right? But I got to level with you. There's that truth serum in my DNA, being the Germanic warlord. I will speak the truth to power and to the audience. I'm not going to candy coat things that need to be talked about. These online pharmacies, for example, my last segment are very dangerous. And they're killing Americans. It's just now making the news. because now it's really getting into deep, deep, deep in the suburbs. These kids that are on Snapchat, and you got friends that maybe think they're going to go, you know, take a steroid or take a drug or something, anything in a box, anything from online, or you got to be super careful about now. I wouldn't buy anything unless it's from a, you know, reputable pharmacist in America. And even that, that's about the last refuge. Once they get into there, yeah, that's it, man. But D-Day is coming, I always say, and we hope that America is peaceful and prosperous. But the way things are going, you just look, you can't bring in millions of people into this country. I know we're big, but you can't bring in millions and millions and millions and expect things to be great. That's the whole premise of the show. We have too much immigration. We have too much illegal and legal immigration. Legal is also bad. We don't need millions and millions of legal people pouring over here from the third world. What's the big difference? One person gets in legally, one person gets in illegally. They're both from the third world. They're not of European descent. They have no skills, and they need our money. So what's the real big difference, right? You know, I'm just being honest.
So,
you know we don't need millions of those people either. We got enough people. We really do. Don't need millions more.
You know, this is what I've always said, that when the founding fathers created the documents there, that they said that, you know, when they signed the Declaration of Independence, you know, I've always said this. Did you see a Mexican there? Did you see a black from Africa? Did you see Asian or any of that stuff? You've seen white.
None
European
of them were there.
Men.
They're all European white men. The evil white man was there. The evil suburban man was there of the white race. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's what they'll say, the Democrats.
And that's what they'll claim. You know that. But if you would, if you'd notice up there in the top part of the chat room that I put in there when I first got there, regarding Uvalde, Texas, again, this is always going to be popping up in the news all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Man, if you would watch that at your leisure, that video, this is a police person that trains SWAT teams, special ops, all this stuff. And he put on an hour and 40 minutes video. My God, this guy is hitting the nail on the head, let me tell you. Okay. He called these people everything from A to Z, including cowards. Okay. I couldn't believe it. I mean, I sat there till 5 o'clock in the morning this morning watching this thing.
Oh, the Uvalde police are a joke. They're a joke.
They're a joke. They're a joke.
I'm just going to call it what it is. I've seen the videos. I mean, those guys are standing around asking for backup. Look, it's like I said on my last show. If you join the police force, I have one question for you. If there's a school shooting, are you going to wait for backup, or are you going to go in, bum rush the guy, and take him out with your compadres on the force? The correct answer is you're going to bum rush the guy, and you're going to try to take him out with lethal force. If you say no to that, I would say turn your badge in if you've got one. You're not suited for the police department. Go join the post office. Be a letter carrier. You can be a park ranger. You want to work for the government. I get it. You want a pension. But if you join the military or the police force, those are not safe professions. Danger can sprout up in a microsecond. And you better be ready for it, man. And if you're not, get the fuck out of that line of business and do not represent me and my friends and my family, my neighborhood as that you're a big police officer with the badge. A lot of guys like to feel powerful. They get the badge. A lot of guys probably go in, they want the pension. They don't want any trouble. They want to clock it for 20 years and get out. Look, I get it. They got bills to pay. I get it. But you got to understand, man, if you're an officer of the law, it can be very dangerous. If you join the military, I don't want to hear any more reports saying, well, I just joined for the education, Vaughn, and I want to see the world and join the Navy. Ships being bombed by the Red Commie Navy. You can be shot at any time. Don't you understand? Very dangerous jobs.
What makes it so disgusting, Don, is that you had, like, what was it, 18, 19, 20 cops in that hallway, and there was, like, a couple hundred at least outside. I mean, these people are supposed to be highly trained professionals, right? Well, if you skip, you know, halfway across the country to that mall shooting where that 22-year-old kid had no training, no police, no military, no nothing. Okay, just simply there with his girlfriend getting something to eat, okay? And he took that man down in 15 seconds at a 40 yards with a 9 mil. He needs to be a sniper.
Yep.
Okay. Can you imagine? I couldn't even do that, and I've been around freaking handguns my entire life. 40 yards with a 9 millimeter. Wow.
I know.
And this is just an ordinary citizen. And you know what? That state, I think it was Indiana, did you know what day they passed? And he was carrying a constitutional carry. You know when they passed their constitutional carry? You know when?
Tell us.
That happened on the 17th of this month, and the state of I think it was in Indiana, passed their constitutional carry the 1st of this month. Already saving lives. They passed.
Oh, yeah, but the leftists in Indiana are going nuts over that shooting. And that guy, they're saying he's not a hero. How dare you even say he's a hero? He got lucky, that's all. Oh, they're just the sniveling Democrat fools. You just want to slap them.
Yeah,
they're just sniveling idiots.
It's just absolutely disgusting. I mean, but yeah.
They're disgusting.
He was actually telling people, get behind me. But what does these people down here in South Texas do? They run like cowards.
I know. I'm famous for thinking outside the box. And I'll tell you what I would do. If I was the mayor of Uvalde, I would offer the guy a job in my police department.
Yeah.
I would say, I have a job for you in Uvalde.
Please,
Indiana
please.
Boy, come on down here. We'll give you a sign-on bonus and make you the new trainer. How about those apples? Because you know how to shoot straight, and you don't flinch under pressure.
Right.
Look, I know being a police officer is a hard job. I'm not going to sound cliche and say we back the blue, though we do. But my point is this, as I said before, if you're going to join any police force in America, it's a dangerous job. That's why there are not people lined up around the corner to do that job. It takes a certain kind of a person. It's kind of like a calling. Like a guy goes to medical school because he wants to be a great surgeon. He has a calling to help people, and he's brilliant, and he wants to be a surgeon. Well, if you've got that killer instinct and you've got that, you know, that EMT attitude where you rush to danger, not away from danger, maybe you should be a police officer. If you don't have that in your DNA and all you want to do is sit around and get your pension and clock overtime at a sports event for doing easy work, you know, a lot of guys have skated through, but, you know, for many, many, many years. And you like all the Boy Scouts to salute you, and you like walking around with the badge. Look, I get it. It's a power thing, kind of a power trip for people. But look, we need you to be Johnny on the spot, man, because danger can pop up at any time, especially in Mad Max America 2022. We're really at Mad Max. We are pre-Mad Max America right now. It's where we're at. If you had a graph of America from 1776 to now, I call this prelude to Mad Max America, where it's almost there if we're not careful. I'm trying to divert us away from complete, utter disaster. But I tell people I'm prepared for either, because knowing things as I do, politicians will not save you. As in Uvalde, they are trained. What have I told you before? They're trained to stand down, wait for backup, talk to their boss, and text each other, commiserate about the shooter while you hear this bam, bam, bam. kids being blown away, and they walk in casually, not a care in the world. And what got me was Arredondo was saying, hey, please put your gun down. Do you see that clip?
Oh, yes. Yeah, they were trying to negotiate with the idiot.
Hey, man, please put your gun down. Can you please? Come on.
And
I mean,
even in
this is the level of stupidity that we have in leader, so-called leadership positions.
That's right.
You're supposed to be storm leader.
Right.
Like in a German SS detachment, go in there, storm the room, take them out. Don't stand around and you arrest parents and you mace them and you pepper spray parents who are trying to get through your little police line because their kids are being slaughtered and murdered. I don't blame the Uvalde parents at all. I'm on their side.
Me neither. They did the right thing.
I just wonder how Sean McConaughey feels being in Hollywood, how he flew into D.C. with that stunt with the green Converse tennis shoes. He gave a great speech, and it was a great acting job. You know, I will say, like they say, television. But now a lot more information has come out since his speech in the White House press room. And I'm curious how he feels about things now.
Well,
interesting.
It's very interesting. But the situation down there was like with this clip of, you know, if you're looking at it at your leisure there, but it showed they had not one but four of those shields they carry in front of them, bulletproof, you know, the whole nine
right.
yards. And they even his source in the FBI, he's got a source from the FBI, saying that the door was never locked. That classroom door was never locked. It took three guys going in there with their carbines and their shields, and the little bastard was hiding in a closet ready for an ambush when they took him out.
As he should be.
The door wasn't even locked.
As he should be, yes.
As it should be. Isn't that crazy?
Well, that's the world that we live in today, and it could be a small town tomorrow. I hope we have no more of those, but I know I'm talking to the wind. It's going to happen again.
It's going to happen again.
And if you're listening tonight, and if you're a police officer, you better have your guns ready. And I say be a hero. Be Captain America. This is where you guys can maybe shine. Be a hero and take them out. And my God, you might even be senator. Gunslinger, thank you so much, man. Appreciate the call.
I appreciate it. Have a cool week.
You know, we're going to try, man. All right. I always say, Gunslinger, that all of America right now is Arizona. Yep, you're getting a taste of what we do. And you know what? The climate changes year to year. Watch us have the coldest winter on record now. You wait. I know it's 6 months away, but you wait. Well, back in the day, we have to watch and contain our precious bodily fluids in this exorbitant heat going around the world. We must stay alive to thrive.
Incredibly obvious, isn't it? A foreign substance is introduced into our precious bodily fluids without the knowledge of the individual. Certainly without any choice. That's the way your hardcore commie works.
Mandrake, I suppose it never occurred to you that while we're chatting here so enjoyably, a decision is being made by the President and the Joint Chiefs in the war room at the Pentagon. And when they realize there is no possibility of recalling the wing, there will be only one course of action open. Total commitment. Mandrake, do you recall what Clemenceau once said about war?
No, I didn't think I knew, sir. No.
He said war was too important to be left to the generals. When he said that 50 years ago, he might have been right. But today, war is too important to be left to politicians. They have neither the time, the training, nor the inclination for strategic thought. I can no longer sit back and allow Communist infiltration, communist indoctrination, communist subversion, and the international communist conspiracy to sap and impurify all of our precious bodily fluids.
Love it, love it. Let's get to Irish Pirate, our tech wizard, while we await some more fun packs, too. Irish,
well,
are you doing the night, man?
I don't know if you realize you've got a fun pack in there.
I will check tonight, my friend.
One.
Thank you.
It may be the most epic fun pack you've seen. It's been there actually longer than normal. Normally I've heard from you by now, but I will tell you this. It's got the sequel on that one, the Precious Bodily Fluids, the one you asked for that dealt with why commies are never seen drinking water.
Yes.
They had that conversation later on, so I chopped that one up for you. The only thing I'd like
awesome.
To do with
Thank
that
you,
one, yeah, because originally it was meant that Peter Sellers' character was making fun of him, you know, talking about the
right.
idea that fluoridation was a con job. And the reality was they wanted him to make fun of that, like it was a conspiracy theory in the movie. He laughed hysterically at
yes.
the character, General Ripper. And so I wanted to search the internet a little better and maybe find a spot where a Peter Sellers character doing that kind of thing agreed with someone else, you know, differently than what he did earlier in the same thing, and get him to actually agree that, you know, fluoridation is valid rather than trying to make fun of him. I mean, I wanted to flip the script, but I haven't done that yet. I just left that one open-ended at the end of it. Yeah, the war
well,
just kind of went on.
Well, one thing that I do want on the next fun pack is some Gordon Gekko stuff for our – we have an upcoming business show and shows. So we need some Gordon Gekko.
Okay.
Those we need for us some – I've got some – in the fall, we've got some business shows lined up. So – and maybe some business
okay.
authors, so that would be cool. You're awesome, man. Appreciate it. Yeah, I see it now.
Okay.
I see now. How did that get hidden in my – other folder.
I have no idea.
It did, though.
And so, anyway, there are four other ones on there. And like I said, each one of those cuts is epic in its own right. One of them is you like to play that California one, moving to California, and then at the end it has
yes,
really cool
love that
blues riff. Okay, that came from it turns out because it came originally from a movie where there was a showdown between gangs, and the cops knew about it, so
yeah.
people were just kind of walking around really coy and shy and everything. Okay, that may be the first ever band instrumental song ever.
Okay.
I mean, yeah, you don't just pull that sucker up normally. You got to know exactly what it is. It doesn't just
oh,
come
how
out
cool.
and say hello. Yeah, so a bunch of people are going like, how come this, we were never allowed to have this song? And so that's
right.
kind of interesting. So that's in that mix. And then another one I sent you, it was I actually caught one of my other favorite shows I listened to actually milked the clip, and so I went out and got it, and I'm going to give it to you. And that's from Full Metal Jacket, where you've got one of the soldiers.
Right.
He's wearing the you know, people kill on his
right
helmet.
I love that.
Okay,
yes.
Thank you.
We got it. That's me. Now I'm looking at your fun pack.
Yeah.
Now I don't see the one from Blow. You've got Snazzy Al Topaz, Link Ray,
okay,
Full Metal Jacket, The Ants, and
yeah.
Doctor Strangelove.
Yeah, Adam. Well, you're the one that keeps telling people stand and deliver. So I made a about a 2.25 stand and deliver that includes all the really good stuff where he's dressing down the people in the music
oh, I
industry
see.
And other people. Yeah, the other people that just didn't get what he was about. And so
that's awesome.
It's like, and music's going to take over. You know, we're going to stand and deliver. It's like, and you know, all the women despise you, and they're going to be coming after me very shortly. I just thought, that's got to be on the show. So I cut that one out.
I agree.
For you, for sure.
But
and
now you said that you had the instrumental from that scene from Blow and they're going to California. That's the one that's one I would love to have. I don't see it.
Okay. No, I didn't say I had that one yet. I mean,
oh, I thought you said you had that one. I'm sorry. Okay.
No. The
if you could ever give me that one, that one would be awesome. If you can find it somewhere in your archives or the internet.
Isn't that the instrumental I just told you about, with the, where the one that was banned because the gangs got together? It's called Rumble. I do believe that's in there.
No, that's
it's
Link
the
Ray
right
in the. That's the Link Ray in the. Oh, I see what you mean. I'm sorry. That song is also in that Blow segment. You're right. But I meant the
so
very first part where they're going to California and it's like the guitar solo.
Yeah, and if you listen to the guitar in any of the movies where they had that, the song is deliberately chopped up. It's deliberately messed with.
Right, it is.
It doesn't sound right. So I went out and made it.
I see. Okay. Well,
yeah.
I love that song Rumble by Link Ray, so thank you, man. I appreciate that. And
yeah,
I'm seeing
like
what
that.
You sent over. It's kick-ass.
Another one I did for you was
again?
The, you like that video game intro to Battleship 1942.
Yes.
And now that one was interesting. Somebody went out and cleaned that up and messed it up at the same time. So I had to juice that thing more than I'd ever hit any digital recording ever to try and bring it out of the dirt.
Okay.
And when I did that, certain parts of it overdrove. And so I did my tricks on those. And it made it better than ever, actually. And so I just kept the overdrive version on there.
Awesome, man.
Yeah, it ended up having a 16.9 expansion that he put on, plus what I did at the same time. So it was almost like
the Von
Wien
show. Thank you. Yes, it's awesome.
You'll like that one for sure as well. Anyway, so things are happening out there. I'm always, whenever I get inspired by something that anybody says, really, I'll try to get it on there. I'm totally blown away, actually, by just the things that have happened this week as far as I've never seen so much go down so fast that it sounds like what's going to be happening.
I like how you put that.
They're going to literally try to keep us in a state of such chaos. There'll be one flinch after another. We're never going to be able to stop until they actually stop all of our ability to deny the government, to do our own thing. And it's going to take literally. I'm already telling the people that I work around and that type of thing to say, just get ready to say no fast. Just say no as fast as you possibly can.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not always working. One of my family members actually said that they still think COVID is real. So we had to have a little talk on that.
God.
And because, I mean, think about it. They're already trying to come out with monkeypox vaccine, and the only people that are actually pushing it on supposedly are gay men, and they're already trying to come up with a shot for monkeypox for kids. And you're going like,
isn't that insane? Irish, that's crazy. I know, I heard the same thing, man.
And that's what we're seeing.
That's demonic.
More and more
that's demonic.
It's always demonic when it has nothing to do with the prior subject. Just like they're saying, we want to switch everything to green energy. And if we flip everything to green energy right now, if we just took everything that is green, the whole planet would run for 87 minutes. And then there would be nothing.
Yeah.
Because it's so inefficient. Yeah, everybody would be begging for what we had before, despite the fact that they say, well, and they even give it a bad name, fossil fuels, when petroleum is abiotic. It's not even... Nothing had to die to create it. I mean, it's
right.
Hilarious. It's all satanic. They're trying to make you so scared of everything you do. Do you know why you do what you do? The answer is never ask the Irish pirate that question. I thought very carefully before I said what I said, did what I did, chose who I chose, et cetera, et cetera.
That's right. That's my attitude. I did what I did. Yeah. I did it my way, like Frank Sinatra, and I have no regrets or very few.
Well, every once in a while, I do have to do some radical things. I mean, there's nothing wrong with bluffing once in a while. You know, your all-ins have to be
sure.
For real. But that's usually in somebody's face when they're just too used to having it their own way is when you do that.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to do that here on the Von Wehunt Show because we're speaking truth to power, and power's looking down at us like, so what? You have a show, and there's freedom on the show, and we're going to take it. Like, well, what are you going to do, ban us again? So in your email, I actually said, let's get banned again.
I saw that.
Ban us another time. You know, hit the other cheek. Mm-hmm. Hit the other cheek. Let's go for it. Let's pull the Jesus on him.
You think
you're so strong?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, what are you going to do, kick us off of some other platform? It's a little late for that. And
exactly.
So the only thing that needs to come out is the truth. But it's really sad. I mean, if people don't know anything, like I said, the family member didn't know anything about – they thought COVID was real. So I actually had to drop the bomb on him. Do you realize that if you see a picture out there of, say, this is a picture of a cold virus or a flu virus or something, and you ask these professionals, so where'd you get the picture? How'd you isolate the virus? They'll literally turn around and tell you we can't isolate a virus. They'll literally turn around and tell you that can't be done. And you go like, well, why are you showing me a picture of a virus? If it wasn't isolatable, your, you know, your science is zero. You're just making it up, which is exactly what they're doing. They're scaring you to death. No one. Now, that doesn't mean that people don't get sick with something that so-called viruses cause, but it's a lot like gravity. Gravity red, put it in a bucket and, you know, cart it from one place to another. It just exists, but nobody knows why. And so the same thing is true with what they're calling viruses. They, the sickness has symptoms, and they're supposedly racking the symptoms, but that doesn't mean they've ever seen a virus in their life. It doesn't mean they've ever isolated one, ever. So you can't go around with a lab coat saying, I know what's going on here, when you're just – I mean, I'm sorry, that's not science. And I refuse to call you sir if you're going to do that either. I mean, you're my knave if you can't follow the science. Seriously.
Right.
I mean, if sickness is nothing more.
It's right there for people to know, and they refuse to learn it. They don't want to know it. They're like putting their head in the sand. No, no, no. I mean, look, you are so right about that, and it's ridiculous the behavior of some Americans as it relates to that. It's crazy.
We went over that guy in 1890 said that sickness basically is the absence of health, but the people who are healthy don't have this bad thing, and the people who are sick have it. So therefore, you got to be able to isolate it, which is the second plank of four. And nobody did that even as late as 1910. And then they came out with the idea that vaccines could be given to you in a needle in 1954, which was the biggest joke of all. Right? Vaccines before then had some big dead gooey thing, and they'd rub it on you. And it was disgusting, and maybe that was closer to science. I still think what's in the vaccine needles is more disgusting than that. But, you know, I haven't exactly seen it up close either. So I'll just say
they'll put you in the iron lung next, the way it's going.
Yeah, so the big problem is if sickness is just mere – excuse me, yeah, sickness is an absence of health, and health is an absence of sickness, and you can't actually isolate what causes it in each case – then really it's your deficiency of nutrition that's causing you the sickness, because you should have beat the darn thing if it's natural. And certainly if we've gone over this before in the young earth creation debates I do, nothing ever goes variant and comes back stronger. That's a myth. That's never happened in written history. But they've never isolated anything and saw that it got stronger when it mutated. Mutating usually means it just slicks out some sort of a – like a DNA or something like that. It just takes it to zero. It doesn't mean that nothing's ever added energy. Nothing's ever added information. Well, what happens when, like, oh, I don't know, something grows another leg? It's taking the same information and duplicating. That's not adding information. I mean, this is the kind of stuff where, like, feminists argue with me. They get caught up in this stupid concept. Well, because X chromosomes are bigger than Y chromosomes, that means women are actually more intelligent than men. I say, really? Is that necessary? Because if you think about it, a woman doesn't have a Y chromosome, so therefore the man has more actual different information in him. You know, too bad
that's
you're
right.
a sad feminist, but you lose by your own argument. I mean, I don't
right.
care one way or the other what the truth
it's
is.
Science.
Please, don't use that on me. I'll get you.
It's like that 1980 song, Science.
Science.
We love that.
I'll cut up a dance version of that and make a 2-minute version that has the real action on it.
You need to. Yes, you need to do a promo for the show. That'd be hilarious. Sir,
Thomas Dolby's one of my favorite dudes out there. He was one of the few multi-million-dollar musicians that actually, when he got done with doing what he was doing, he just went back to his regular job. Which was, for him, I believe, an airline pilot. He was an airline pilot. He just went back to
flying. Smart guy.
Yeah.
Very smart guy.
Howard Jones went back to teaching fifth grade. You know, that type of thing. I mean, I think it's cool when they go out there and make their big score and just leave.
I love it. Go out there, do your dream, make your $1 million, and go back to your day job. Or just retire.
That ever happens to me, Von Wehunt. Yeah,
I know.
To me, first of all, not
we're workhorses, man. I've worked for everything my entire life, and I'm a workhorse. But that's okay.
But if you love,
because
you
thank
do,
God we're
not
living in Cyprus with the European housewife being invaded by the militant mongrel hordes. I mean, you heard her. I saw you on the studio board here. God, they've been invaded. I mean, really bad.
Well, and
we have problems, right?
If it got that bad, I agree with you. If Arizona ever got that bad, I know we've discussed that we're the second most dangerous border between nations in the world, with Texas and Mexico being number one.
We are. That's true.
And we hold our chins up high and say, we know they're coming. We even speak Spanish. Yeah, we know what we want. If they were all nice people, we just didn't. And that's what I said one of our earliest get-togethers on this show. I said, look, the people come across the border, we get to know them anyway, whether you like it or not.
Right.
And if we don't like them, we're kicking them out of this state, and they're landing in places like D.C. and Minnesota and Wisconsin. They're landing in places like that because we don't like them. If we do like them, they're still here. If they can get a job here because they got skills, they're still here for the most part. I mean,
it's an invasion, man. It is Irish. It is. They're just coming in, man, by the truckload, literally by the truckload. I mean, it's just, we can't absorb everybody. I'm sorry. We just can't. And at some point, it's going
to
blow, man.
We've
talked about this.
Yeah, it makes sense that the ones that belonged here first came first. It was really obvious why they came. Now they've had to invent excuses.
Right.
And the guy I'd like to strangle is the one that actually gave them bad information that said America's waiting for you. And they put up radio stations on the AM in foreign countries like down South America. You can't hear them from here.
Yep.
And I wish I had copies of that material. I'd like to blast that stuff at the border saying in Spanish, is this what you heard? They lied. You know, it's going to be a tough crawl from here. So, enter at your own risk if you've made it this far. That's what I'd tell them.
My mind works in Germanic warlord ways. I know how you could stop that flow of people with little to minimal. Well, it would take a lot of effort, but one thing that they could do, and I'm surprised, not that I want this to happen, I don't, but I'm surprised that that no one's put alligators in that Rio Grande River. Can you imagine if they were crossing over and there were thousands of alligators that had a feeding frenzy? I mean, that right there would put, and just bring them over from Louisiana, that right there would put a damper on crossing over. I mean, walk across
the
river.
The guys that come across are the ones we're afraid of at that point, the ones that could actually, if you remember that country tune about the guy that could handle the alligators, but he only had one arm because the alligator got it one time. Those are the guys that would make it across. Yeah, and I'm not sure if we want to deal with those guys or not. I'd hate to test them before they come over. Are you mad enough to come over? I'd rather scare them.
Literally. Well, I mean, look, either you have a border or you don't. I call that fortifying our southern border. We're not wanting anybody to get hurt. We would warn them. I would put it. Now, I'm a fair guy. I'm very fair. I would put up signs in English and Spanish, Espanol, como señor, saying all along the border, there's alligators in the border. If you enter the Rio Grande, you enter at your own risk. I would warn them.
When Trump first said he was going to build the wall, the first thing they said, well, then the coyotes are just going to fly over the top of it. And my answer was, I hope it costs them a heck of a lot more than it does now. You know, it'll slow it down.
Well,
sure.
Any plane flying over the border, I would shoot down. I would shoot down. I would have either drones or anti-aircraft right there. That's what I'm saying. I am for militarizing the southern border with Mexico. I've said this before. We've talked about it, and I know it's not popular, but we may at some point, I can see where, look, this is a systemic problem. We may have to go to war with Mexico again
one of these days,
and China, because, look, they are doing nothing but bringing over fentanyl and invading us, and I don't see where we're getting much out of this transaction, buddy.
Right. All the rhinos that are running right now are saying they're going
to
do it. They're all saying they're going to. We're going to militarize the border. We're going to declare an emergency state. And the answer is,
I'm saying, but I'm more serious than those rhinos. I'm saying, my version, the militarize the border, and theirs is apples and oranges. They want to bring over some Humvees and drive around and look real tough and, you know, do a few maneuvers. And that's their idea of militarizing the border. Mine is anti-aircraft, alligators, machine gun nests. We need people on the ground, actual troops on the ground. We need all detention centers there, massive deportations by force of arms.
Well,
we cannot, when the weather cools down, man, we're going to have a million coming up here. It's going to be a million more.
I would volunteer to be also the guy that actually hacks their communications at the border. I would volunteer to train them with what I know. I would do that.
Absolutely.
I'd say, look, if these guys are actually going to get sophisticated, welcome to the ball game now, because that would be game over. Mexico's got a lot of problems, and one of them is they're running out of water faster than we are. We keep hearing about and the weather reports.
I know.
What used to be yellow on the weather reports, now it's just dark red, even though it's a lower temperature. I mean, have you seen this? This is worldwide. They're suddenly making it all dark red.
I know.
And if that happens, we'll do the same thing back to them. We'll definitely crack what they're doing and make it so difficult. I mean, well, let's look at this one. We've been discussing Ukraine the same way. Every leader that went up to meet Zelensky is now gone. Do you realize that?
That's right.
They shook hands with Zelensky, they're out. No matter what country they came
from. Isn't that amazing? I know. I'll never shake his hand.
Yeah. Wouldn't you love to have that kind of a bugaboo going on at our border?
We love the Hispanic people on my show. I have no problem with people being Hispanic. My thing is this. We have a lot of Hispanics in America. We're the most generous country for bringing in people. We have done that and proven that for good, bad, or indifferent reasons. My thing is we can't take in the entire Hispanic world and third world and Haiti and Middle East. We just can't. And at some point, we're going to have to play dirty and get really strict about that border. And we haven't been for 50 years. It's going to come to a head where it's going to be no more Mr. Nice Guy, where, hate to say it, some heads are going to roll. Some people might need to be shot. And here's the thing. You don't need to shoot everybody. All you got to do is just put in some well-placed shots here or there, some pot shots. They'll get your message. They'll back off. I don't see any peaceful way of doing it. I know Trump had it somewhat under control, but even with Trump, they came over the border, but not as bad as Biden, but they were still sneaking across. And there's tunnels underneath our border, too. Look, it's a huge problem. But we have to put a lot more resources towards it, man. A lot more.
Well, now we've got the problem that our own government has declared war on us. If it was the War of Independence in 1776, it's the War for Dependence that we didn't declare was declared on us in 2022. And they're coming up with every emergency they can claim, just like in the Weimar Republic. It was a wonderful republic.
Yes.
They thought it was as great as the United States. And they used that emergency out. They abused it to death to change the country over and turn it upside down, economically blew it apart and turned it into literally a dictatorship at that point. And that's what they drooled over. And they're trying to do the same thing here. It took them forever to attempt to do that. I don't even know if it's going to work, quite frankly. It's too obvious to be able to say, look, we have these rights that we've been exercising for generations, is a good word for it. I learned what I learned from my dad as far as guns, that type of thing. He learned that probably from his dad, if I remember correctly, or his brother. And I would pass that information down. And if anybody actually knows what it's like to actually be free, and I'll admit, a lot of kids now are so brainwashed coming out of school. My own daughter has told me, I don't know what freedom really means, Dad. And I said, I'll show you. Next time we get together, if you ask me the question, I'll show you what freedom is. But it basically means to me that nobody is going to tell me how to represent myself. I can tell the world who I am, and they can't tell me you're lying. There's no evidence that I could, that when I tell you that I'm an American, that I'm not. If I tell you that I'm a happy white male that actually is capable of making money, then I am. I mean, nobody can say I'm not. They have
right.
to come up with stupid stuff. Oh, you're a racist, or you're, you know, you're a homophobe, or you're afraid
exactly.
of this, or that's the other thing. The answer is afraid of nothing, dude. You know, it's like maybe there's some things in this world I don't want, but what I want, and this happened one time. I had a principal stare me down. She was nasty, kind of like what I'm hearing about the one they're bringing in at the school I'm at, although that's just a rumor, although it's made people quit, so we'll see how valid it is. And the reality is I got stared down. Somebody says, and I, you know, sorry about the language here, but literally the principal looked at me and said, who the F do you think you are? And I just looked her in the eye and I said, look, if you had something I wanted, I would have taken it by now. I've got to be your friend at this
right.
point. Yeah. I mean, I'm too slick.
Right.
If I was your enemy, you'd be done. You would be gone. So let's get one thing straight. You don't need
to get real, baby.
Third degree. I am who I say
right.
I am, and everybody else knows this. It's called reputation. I have a good reputation. I can't say I didn't work at it, but it's not something – I would rather have that spending my happy chips for me rather than my money or my effort or anything like that. It's like, you know what I've done in the past. Just let me do it now. That's what I want.
Right.
I have that reputation on this show. I have that reputation. People are scared to death I'm going to open my mouth elsewhere. This show lets me have that
right.
green light. And what's so funny is, if anything, they just say he talks too long. You mean there's nothing he said that really bothered you? Well, everything he said was the truth, and I'm still swallowing hard after that. But no, there's nothing he really said that is really not true. So normally when I'm in a debate, I just tell people, you talk. I'll just ask questions. Because you already know who I am.
Irish, have a good night, my friend. I thank you for the fun pack. We will talk next week. I guarantee it. We are up against the clock. Great call, man. Appreciate it. Interesting and inspiring.
Highly inspired fun pack. I think you're going to adore it. It's one of the best ones I've ever put together.
I'm going to love it. And you're awesome, man. We thank you. Have a great night, Irish Pirate. Good talking to you, my friend.
Good night, Bodley Hunt. Very well.
Good night, sir. Irish Pirate, folks, from his compound somewhere in Phoenix, which will always remain a mystery. Well, we could talk for hours. I like Irish's tech wizardry is the best in the biz. But what a great show tonight. We had the VIP Cherie from Cyprus and great callers. We had several of you I know called in. You guys had to drop off. You probably had things to do. But we'll get you next week. Next week we'll be broadcasting from the West Coast. And we'll have a lot more calls probably. Well, in our Did You Know series tonight, did you know that American hunters and gun owners outnumber the world's armies combined? And may I add, they are all snipers. Well, the U.S. Embassy said that all Americans should leave Ukraine immediately, while U.S. nuclear bombs in Europa are being moved. And I'll leave you with this in our Did You Know series tonight. Did you know that Mike Tyson, the famous boxer, once said this? Everybody has a plan until they get punched in the face. Love that quote. Well, thank you all for being here from my mountain stronghold studio deep in the mountains of Arizona. We'll be broadcasting from the West Coast, the future home of Valhalla Studios, beyond the California and the Oregon coast for the next couple of weeks there, checking out some new studio space maybe, and doing some other projects, meeting some, hopefully some new advertisers for the show. We do want to expand in multiple markets again, and also traditional radio stations. If you like what you hear, please reach me, VonWeHuntShow@gmail.com. Donate to the show, your favorite cause. We are a cause worth saving for, worth investing in. Thank you all for being here tonight. God bless you all. Keep the faith. We won't forget about you. Have a great night. Bye-bye.
Era's coming. Era's coming. Once heard your heart, your loving heart. Era's coming in the cut day. A broken heart.
Better hide your